Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Giddy Aunt Comedy.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of my podcast, which is one of our woke folk interviews. This is a series of conversations where yours truly chews the fat with a bunch of namby-pamby lefty liberals. While you listen to this podcast, you may like to take a moment to think of me, lying on a Caribbean beach being oiled up by a naked Jennifer Acuri. I know that's what I'm thinking about, which is probably why Carrie's giving me funny looks and wondering why I've got a stiffy. But you can rest assured that I'm having a lovely break. All paid for by a Tory donor, of course. I just need to try and remember which one. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the interview. Hello again, and welcome back to my basement for a very special episode of my podcast. This week, I'm in a conversation with an award-winning comedian, actress, singer, podcaster, and goodness knows what else. It's the amazing Sue Skedler. Hello, Sue. Sit down, make yourself at home. Ignore the pig's head on the floor. That's probably left here by one of my predecessors. I offer you a drink, but the choice is it's probably going to be a bit limited. Compared to what you normally get when you're podcasting, because you co-host the Mystery on the Rocks podcast, don't you? Is that right?
I do actually. I didn't have you down as a fan. Do you like what we do?
I love anything expensive and boozy. So yes, absolutely. I mean, just explain a little bit about the podcast. So discussing a different unsolved mystery each week while glugging cocktails, is that broadly? Have I just sort of stolen the answer that I asked you to give?
Oh, no, it's fine. That's quite a good pitch, actually. From a very succinct man, it's me, Chris Stokes and Masood Milas. We're three comedians, and we take unsolved real-life mysteries and we try and solve them while getting hammered on very fine cocktails that we make ourselves. I'm glad that appeals to you.
And are those cocktails self-funded?
Yes.
Or do you get a donor to fund the cocktail?
To be honest, it is public money, which I know you're no stranger to, that we use to fund our drinking and mystery solving.
Great.
Yeah.
That is bloody brilliant. Well, I certainly shall tune in to the podcast now I know that. I mean, well done.
Thanks. Great to meet a fan.
Well, a few sort of suggestions I thought I'd have for you. So perhaps you could sort of do an episode about, you know, whether £350 million a week for the NHS went. I mean, should have been here by now. So, you know, where's it gone? It's certainly a mystery to me.
Yeah. I have been wondering, actually. I was hoping I'd be able to talk to you a little bit about that, but I guess it's a mystery to you too. It's a shame, isn't it? Because you did work bloody hard to get that.
Well, I wouldn't say I've ever worked bloody hard, but I, you know, I turn up at varying points and do whatever it is I do. So yes. Also, I mean, another potential one. You know, maybe you could do one on why working class people vote for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm very grateful, but you know, I mean, surely that's got to be one of the world's greatest mysteries.
Well, as a member of the metropolitan liberal elite, living in my mum's spare room in a very small terrace in a pretty crap town, I have no idea myself. I wouldn't like to speak for them, but it's nice to know that they have more in common with you than with me.
Well, I'm a man of people. As long as they keep thinking that. I understand you do more than one podcast, which is definitely something I can get on board with. Why commit to one thing when you can have many? It's the Queen podcast, isn't it? I imagine it's quite a challenge to keep coming up with new things to say about Her Majesty every week. I mean, is that sort of broadly how it works?
It's actually not the lady, it's the band Queen.
Yes.
Who I actually pledge allegiance to them. Every time I sing God Save the Queen, when I'm a starting member of a squad in a national tournament and I have to sing it, I'm actually secretly pledging allegiance to Queen Freddie Mercury. That's my queen.
What are these national tournaments that you're taking part in?
Oh, just you name it, I've done it.
Well, I don't want to get too close to all this wave nonsense of taking the knee, so I'm going to move on from that. I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that Queen are excellent. All went to Eton, actually, funny enough, I believe.
Oh, really?
And that's right. I'm pretty sure everyone good. Elton John, Freddie Mercury. And Marcus Rashford, he was there. everyone doing something good. I believe they were. They went to. I mean, that's how it worked.
Sense because Rashford's got an honour now, so that makes sense. He must have gone to Eton. That's how it works.
Exactly right. And all the best. Yeah. You know, all the best people. And then Oxford as well. You know, Eton and Oxford. Think about some of the great. I mean, Rupert Murdoch, he was there, great chap. Ghislaine Maxwell, she was also at Oxford. I mean, you know, and me. So it's wonderful.
I didn't know that. What was her major?
She was English or some bollocks. I don't know.
Some English.
But she was there. She was there.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those namby pamby. Well, it wasn't classic, was it? But anyway. I was fascinated, Susan.
Yeah.
By that thread you did on Twitter about your experiences as a Christina Aguilera tribute act in Cyprus. I mean, that really sort of seemed to catch the public interest, and you got retweeted by all sorts of famous people. I mean, do you want to just explain what that was about for anyone who missed it?
Sure. Well, in 2007, I went to Ayia Napa in Cyprus and spent 3 months there as a Christina Aguilera tribute act. And I documented my various experiences in what remains one of the worst jobs I've ever had in this industry on Twitter. And having been on Twitter at this point 10 years, it turned out, Sir Boris, that it was the most relatable thing I have ever posted. It went crazy viral. Piers Morgan retweeted it, so did Ed Miliband. So I genuinely brought both sides together.
But he's a bloody good chap, Piers Morgan. It's funny you say you were in Ayia Napa in 2007 because incidentally, so was I. We didn't run into each other. Yeah. I was. Just for a couple of days, sampling, you know, all the local women, which was great. Just as I rifle through my brain, searching for the questions that I'm here to ask you, I should say at this point that you know you're far too modest to mention it, but you're actually a really fantastic singer. You went to the Royal Academy of Music. I mean, did you ever consider a career as a serious musician, or had comedy always been on the cards?
I did comedy because. You'll know this. If you choose a vocation that has no filtration process, for me, comedy, for you, politics, you can perform every night of the week if you want. Now, you, unlike in politics, you might not get paid for it in comedy, but it does mean you're performing all the time. So while I waited for the whole musical theatre thing to kick off, I was doing stand-up, and it turned out that if you merge the two, if their powers combine, like in Captain Planet, you do whatever Captain Planet did. He was good, wasn't he? Flew around and stuff. That kind of thing.
I would say, not only do I perform every day of the week, I perform every hour of the week. I'm very good at making it look like I'm doing something when I'm actually not. it's working fucking well so far. Let me tell you that. People often ask me sort of where my interest in politics sort of came from, and I have to tell them I'm not the slightest bit interested in politics. I'm only interested in power, influence, and wealth. And if I have to be a politician to get that, then so be it. I mean, would you say that you were sort of someone who has a genuine interest in politics?
Yes, very much so. I used to put all the energy I put into politics into reality TV, like Big Brother and X Factor. But I'm all grown up now, so now I can do, State of Im, I can do it about politics instead of Alex Sibley, who came third in season 3 of Big Brother UK. Like, now I do that about, you know, Marc Francois.
I remember.
Yeah, behind the door, yeah.
Incidentally, I think there is going to be some pretty good crossover. I think Matt Hancock might well be going into the Love Island Villa, as I understand. So those two worlds are clearly colliding, which is exciting news. I mean, what were your thoughts?
Well,
on
I
that?
Was going to ask you, what have you and Matt been like swapping erotic adventure anecdotes with each other?
The thing I would say about Matt is I think it is absolutely, completely disreputable, inappropriate for someone to be shagging around when they've got a wife. So I think that's absolutely appalling. And I don't know what else to say. But the one thing I will say is, I mean, who would have fucking expected it to be Matt Hancock? I mean, of all the people, you're expecting to steal Oliver Bonus's wife. Matt Hancock. I mean, he wouldn't even have been in the top. I mean, he would probably have been last on the list. I mean, it really is. Yeah. It really is an amazing turn up for the books. But no, I think it's absolutely terrible behaviour. Awful.
Yeah, I do. I thought it'd be more like Stephen Crabb might chuck it up someone, or Baker. I could see Baker doing it because he's not that busy. But yeah, I would have Hancock right down the bottom because he's a busy guy. He's saving lives every day and doing parkour. I don't know how he found time to grab a woman's leg in his office. And no one's talking about how she was really looked quite keen to get away. No one talks about that.
I'm not going to get into that one. Moving swiftly away from that. Can we talk a little bit about how you think I've been able to handle this pandemic sort of on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being sort of diabolically, 1 being Matt Hancock, and 10 being Eton College. Where would you sort of put how I've done?
I'd feel rude because I'm in your house. This is essentially your house right now, isn't it? I'd feel like I was being unfair if I told you the truth, which is that I think the only way you could have done a worse job is if Rishi Sunak hadn't copied John McDonnell's homework. I think then it would have been an even worse job. But I put that down to...
I think that sounds like a compliment. So thanks very much. I'll take that as an 8. lovely. So there's a lot of heated debate in Tory circles at the moment about cronyism. I mean, some of my conservative friends feel very strongly that you shouldn't be able to donate a couple of hundred grand to the Tory party in exchange for a period. I mean, they think it should be at least $500,000. So I'd be interested sort of hear how much you think we should charge for a period.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought about this, to be honest, how much they should actually be. I think anyone who wants a peerage should just say they want one, and then they have to do like a Hunger Games style event to get that peerage. And then I think we might see some quite exciting people in the House of Lords. I think Burkow would finally get his chair in the House of Lords if that happened. I think he's feisty and scrappy.
Well, I think that's undoubtedly a great idea, definitely. But the problem with it is that Rees-Mogg already does that with his slaves once a year. So I don't know if it's going to work for the Lords, because he's already... Although, I mean, I to be fair, he has got the core set up in his manner. So maybe that would work quite well.
Yeah.
The problem is, they're also sort of, you know, made of gammon and unfit. All of them would probably die.
Well, I think it'd be a good incentive for them to get into better shape in order to absolutely slaughter the opposition, which is what they purport to want to do. But they are not willing enough to live a healthy lifestyle in order to do it. And I think this would spur them on.
There might be something in that. Especially now Burkow's one of these awful woke lefties. I'd bloody love to see him doing the bloody Hunger Games and getting fucked up by whoever. Lindsay Hoyle enjoyed it.
Perish at the cornucopia.
Yeah, quite right. Quite right. You've got a character on Twitch called Malcolm Dempster.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm far too old to have any idea what the fuck Twitch is, but from what I've heard, Malcolm sounds like my sort of guy. Do you think we'd hit it off?
Malcolm, he thinks you are outstanding. Like, he thinks you're doing a 10 out of 10 job, and he thinks you'd be doing an 11 out of 10 job if people like bloody Owen Jones just let you get on with it and stop saying things to undermine the government. Like,
bloody
I
Owen
wish they
Jones.
Were doing a better job for the general public. Malcolm Dempster, he's a contributor to... Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, don't even get Malcolm started on Owen Jones. Malcolm's actually never seen a picture of Owen Jones, so he thinks that Owen Jones, whenever he sees a picture of Marcus Rashford, Malcolm Dempster thinks that's Owen Jones and gets double angry. It's very confusing for him during the football.
Well, I don't want to create too much animosity with any of the lefties. I mean, you know, I used to live with a lot of them in Islington, so there's no need to create too much animosity there. He sounds like a lovely chap. I mean, we should arrange for him to definitely get a pretty hefty. I mean, I don't know if he makes PPE, but if he'd like to, I'm sure we could sort him a contract very easily. That's lovely. Nice easy questions now. Nice easy quick fire. What do you think are the top three benefits of Brexit?
Oh, well, I suppose the first one is I get to see a lot of older white guys with big companies looking very nonplussed on the news. That's quite fun. Now that it's happened, BBC News is no longer what I was calling for a while, Brexflix. And it's just nice to see Marc Francois happy.
Lovely. I can't share your views on the old chaps of businesses. I mean, it's crushing news, but fine. I mean, we've got to get some wokies onto the fucking podcast. But anyway, if you were stranded if you were stranded on the side of a mountain with Gavin Williamson, Matt Hancock, and Liz Truss, who would you eat first, and why, and who would you save for pudding?
Oh, well. I think, hang on, what were the choices again? Annalise Truss, Matt Hancock.
Matt Hancock, Annalise Truss.
I think I would eat Gavin Williamson first, just to get it over with. Because, to be honest, of the three of them, I think he'd have the most annoying anecdotes. So I'd be like, yum, yum, there's breakfast. Annalise... Honestly, to be honest, I think she's better off me sending her into the woods to gather supplies. I think she'd be bang up for it and go right away and stuff like that. Matt Hancock, you know I'm saving Loverboy for pudding. Mm-mm.
Very, very nice. I mean,
Britain's biggest fuck machine. Yes, please.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, I mean, personally, if that were me, you know, the problem with Gavin Williamson, well, and Matt Hancock is they're probably both going to try and shag you. So you kind of want to get that kill them, eat them first.
Thanks, Boris.
Do you know what I mean? Well, I know you're very welcome. They are top shaggers. Top shaggers. Yes.
Good to know. Well, now I see how they ended up in the cabinet.
That's a bloody fucking lootly. Last couple of questions. So just thinking about when you're at school. If you've been forced to sing crappy songs about how great our country is, I mean, do you think that you would have become more patriotic or less of a moaning lefty?
I honestly think I'd have become more patriotic, actually. You know, a little less one more step along the world I go and a little bit more Land of Hope and Glory can only have done me good, musically and patriotically.
Or, of course, the brilliant, amazing new Gavin Williams song, the Strong Britain, Great Nation, Strong Britain. It's just that, basically, for 3 minutes. But it's very good.
Tomorrow Belongs to Me is always a great song to pastiche.
And you think that would have stopped you from going down the wrong path and becoming such a whinging, woke warrior of whingingness?
It would. It's too late for me now, but it's not too late for tomorrow's future, which is all children.
Yes, I'm not sure. Tomorrow's future is that's just sort of repeating the same thing, isn't it? But I'm sure there's something cleverer behind it, because Gavin Williamson came up with it, and he's definitely not a stupid twat. Lovely. Okay, last question. So I heard you sang. You sang some Donald Trump speeches in the voice of Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
I wondered which singer you think would be best to sing some of my speeches.
Ooh, that's a great question. I think your particular rhetoric would be delivered beautifully by Kate Bush, who is my favourite Tory.
Kate Bush, yes.
Yeah.
Is the surname Bush for a reason? Is there some sort of,
oh, well,
some sort of lack of shaving thing going on? I'm a fan of that. I don't mind it. Anyway, let's not get down that rabbit hole, if you'll pardon the euphemism. Seuss, it's been great having you down here in the dungeon, the basement.
The bunker.
Gove in a separate building. The bunker, yes, the bunker. Do you have anything you want to shout about, promote? Any sort of PPE feelers you want to send out before I balance you back into the real world?
To be honest, I'm just really itching to get out of here and start my life again. So please let me go.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like you're enjoying the thigh grabbing. I hope that was consensual. I've said it, it seemed like you were enjoying it. So.
Well, I was worried that I was going to grow to love it.
Yeah, well, I would say many people do, of course. But anyway, off you go. Thank you for coming. Come back at some point.
Thanks, Boris, I will.
And I stay conservative.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview, and I trust that it left you in no doubt about how foolish left-wing views are. I imagine that it helps to confirm your support for my government and everything we stand for. If you wish to help make this podcast possible, you can do so via Patreon. You'll find a link to Patreon in the description of this episode, or in my Twitter bio. Or you can search on Google for Parody Boris Johnson Patreon. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.